Let's take our Bible today, if you would, and turn into the Old Testament to Psalm 19 this morning. We're going to look there. I've got some other places, but I'd like for us to look at the magnitude of God's plan is what I titled the message today as we think about who God is, what He is doing in the world, in our life as a believer, and the things of God today, that the Holy Spirit would encourage us in our walk of faith. In this psalm, of course, recorded by David, a man after God's own heart, we find the what we call natural revelation as well as specific revelation given here in two ways, and I'll share that with you. Much of it you may know by heart, but let me read, if you would, the words of the psalmist. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show forth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a young man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. As we look into this psalm recorded by David, it speaks of the natural revelation of God. It speaks of how God in heaven reveals himself. The heavens, that's plural term, declare the glory of God. When we think about the heavens, it's wonderful that this time of the year it seems to be so clear outside with the humidity, with the clarity of the air. You sit outside on a cold day as it was yesterday, and we'll have some coming up. And the sun seems to be more radiant in being able to feel the heat of it. Not that it's not hot in July and August. That's one type of heat. But you feel a direct, almost like a burning heat. You've got to move around a little bit. And you think about the stars at night. You go out on a cold, brisk night and clear night, and it seems like the stars are just right there. You could almost touch them. You had a full moon just a few weeks back, and it looked like it was just on the horizon as it came up that evening. These are the things that God has created, and they declare, it says in verse 1, the glory of God. God's glory. What do we mean by the Greek word for glory is doxa. We talk about a doxology. Singing a doxa would be giving glory to God. We give glory to God by singing songs of praise to God. That's part of our worship, giving back to God, the Creator, what He has created in us, and we sing from our hearts the word of the songwriters, words of inspiration, if you would, where we give back to God His worth and for His glory. The firmament, it says, showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. Every day, 24-hour day we're talking about, God is speaking. Oftentimes we say, as it was maybe the other day, it rained, it was cloudy. Somebody said, well, we didn't see the sun. We didn't see directly the sun, but we saw the sun, right? We saw the sun because it was light. And yet, because we did not see the sun because of the clouds, did not mean that the sun was not shining somewhere. There are people on the face of this earth that are able to see God at all times. Even at night when it's dark, you see the heavens, plural again, atmospheric heaven, whereby birds fly. We see stratosphere. We see the stars. We see the creation. And then, of course, the third heaven we'll see one day. Right now we see it by faith. How's that, preacher? Well, we have the Word of God. And He tells us there is a third heaven. And we haven't seen it with our eyesight physically, but with our spiritual eyes, by faith, we can see that. I see today in heaven, according to the faith in the Word of God, that Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's not on the throne. He's seated at the right hand of God, and He's there interceding for us. This is wisdom we find in God's Word. And so we find that there's natural revelation that speaks a language yet no one can deny. He said in verse 3, for there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It reaches every culture. It reaches every dialect. I can't remember right off, but I want to think somewhere above 3,000 languages in the world today. I'm sure it's more than that, but I'm just saying. But the language of God in creation is heard. And He talks about the sun coming out as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber. As it arises each day, and we see this. One day makes me think about the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. He's coming for the bride, the church of God, all born-again believers. And in this, that day when we come back with the Lord as He comes to judge the earth, the sun will not be shining. Now, the sun is a created part of God's glory, as well as the moon and the stars. But think with me just a moment. These things were created. But Christ, who is eternal, who is God, not a part of, He is God, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, Holy Spirit. All three are co-equal, all three are one. The Son will come in His glory, not a created glory, in who He is. He's going to come and we will be with Him. The born again church of the living Lord will be with Him. He will come in His glory, and the scripture says, and every eye will see Him. Thought about that. You think with me. The day of judgment, the sun is not going to shine. The moon is not going to reflect the sunlight of the sun. The stars will be darkened. And this glory of God, Jesus Christ, will shine. How will that be? Well, it will be according to what we find in Scripture, that the world, as we know it, will have gathered. Because He's working that together during the tribulation, whereby the nations will come against Israel. All of the world, talking about humanity being at one place, and here's the glory of the Lord. He will appear as a bridegroom coming out of the chamber. He goes, it says in verse 6, His going forth is from the end of heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof of the sun. But then He begins to talk now about the specific revelation. If God in His created environment that he did. He created all things, and we could see this in Colossians 1, Christ too. He's the creator. All things were created by him and for him, the scripture says. So now what we have is not a natural creation that we can see with the eye, but we have a specific creation or revelation, we would say. God has revealed, let me go back, God has revealed himself through natural revelation. We see that. It's very important to understand that this is God. Now we see the specific revelation, what we declare to be the Word of God. You say, well, David lived prior to many of the prophets. Yes, he did, but he had the Word of God. He had what Moses had written, and we have these things. So we have the Word of God, and it points us back to who God is. In verse number 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. He talks about the law of the Lord, the statutes, the commandments. This is the Word of God recorded for us. So you and I can see today more than what David could see, because we have now the completed revelation of God. And that's not just talking about the book of the Revelation, but we have the completed revelation of God, which is specific revelation, the written Word of God. And it shows us who God is as a creator. It shows us how he works in the heart and hearts and lives of people. And this is what we want to see. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. We talk about being born again, becoming a Christian. How is that done? Well, it's done by the Word of God. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the power of God? What is the gospel? It's the death, burial, and resurrection. How do we know that took place? Because it has been recorded in God's Word. And we can see that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When God's Word is read, when God's Word is sounded forth, then it touches the heart which God created. God created man. In each individual life, in the creation of God, we were created in his image. God has a will. He created mankind with a will. You have a will, I have a will. We have a will to choose to do this and not to do this, or to do this that we should not do and not to do what we should do. We have a will. That's in the creation of God. And in God's will, when we hear the Word of God, when we read the Word of God, we can say truth or not. I believe it, I don't believe it. We can do that with nature. We'll get to that in just a moment. But now we're talking about the Word of God. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's, in other words, it's complete. There's nothing missing. There are no missing books. Many say, well, that's the Gospel of Thomas and Esdras and all of these other. We have the recorded Word of God in 66 books. We have the power of God in the Word of God. It converts the soul. His Word is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes, the words of God, of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. In other words, we read the Word of God and we can be down, we can be depressed, we can be looking inward instead of outward or upward, and we can begin to read the Word of God, and what it will do is it will encourage the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. It illumines the mind. Isn't it interesting how that we can read the Word of God? Sometimes our eyesight may not be that good. We need glasses or what to read, but the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit makes it crystal clear what God is saying. And this is how God's Word operates. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. David said in verse 10, more to be desired are they than gold, than fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb, the words of God. Think about the word of God. The power of that word. A person may be sick. They may be on deathbed. They may be at a place where they're being fed intravenously. They're not hungry. They don't have an appetite. But what will sustain them is what God's word has done for them. Because that's not the end. Death is not the end, friends. For those who don't know the Lord, they will one day be judged. Death, that's not the end. It's not annihilation. It's all over when you die. No, you're going somewhere. And that place is to be determined while you're alive, while you have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to respond. And this is what he said, more desired are they than gold. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. It tells us how we should live, how we should direct our steps. Who can understand his errors? He says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. We read the word of God, we find out how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves, and who we are, and we need to respond to it. That's the word of God. Now I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 1 this morning with this same thought in mind of the magnitude of God's plan. God created the heavens, he created the earth, he created mankind. And he created mankind so he would have fellowship with man. We are more important to God than anything that he has created. We're told by Peter that this world as you and I see it one day will be destroyed by fire. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But we'll be there. We're going to continue. Mankind is going to continue somewhere. Now, it depends on what we have done with what we have seen and what we have the ability given by God to receive. It's seeing and receiving. In Romans chapter 1, we find in verse number 18, we're talking about creation to begin with. That's what we saw David writing about, the heavens declare the glory of the Lord. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Think with me just a minute. The beauty of creation, yet at the same time, it reveals the wrath of God. And he says, reveal from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, the created heaven of God reveals God. And those who choose to worship the creation more than the Creator stand in judgment. He goes on to say, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. What can be known of God by looking into the heaven? You think with me just a moment. Maybe in the dark jungles of Africa or South America or wherever, you've got the heavens declaring the glory of God. Day after day, night after night. I mean, it's just season after season. It's the hand of God. We saw, maybe this week, the strongest storm that's ever hit. I think they finally declared that to be in Jamaica. To hit that island in particular, you're talking 185 mile an hour wind. Some say it may have been up to 200 miles an hour. Wow. What can stand in the face of God's wrath? A powerful God. He goes on to say, for in them, God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. He has showed it to all people, even to the ungodly, his power by way of creation. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. No man, no woman can stand before a holy God and say, I never saw you. You may say, well, I lived in a world where there were stars and the sun and the moon, but I didn't know that that was you, but you worshiped those things. He goes on to say, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God in verse 21, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Instead of giving God, this creator, the glory, not knowing him, but honoring him and fearing him, they chose to worship the creation more than the creator. You say, well, they didn't have the word of God. We have the word of God. There are places, sure, that all they would know in the darkest and deepest of wherever would be the creation. God will deal with them according to what they know. But what about you and I? We have the word of God. We say that the Bible is the word of God. We preach that Jesus Christ is God. He died. He rose again from the grave. And he ever liveth. And now we're giving out truth. And people are saying, but I believe in whatever. Worshiping the creator or the creation more than the creator. Rather than giving God the glory and the honor that he deserves, they put it within themselves or in whatever their gods are. David said, more pure than gold. Maybe it's the gold. They think more of the created gold than anything else. They're chasing after something that has been created and never getting enough rather than seeing the creator and giving him the honor and glory that he deserves. And yet at the same time, we find that God, in his creation, demonstrating his glory, had come to this earth, Christ, taking on himself the form of a man, and demonstrating, if you would, or showing the glory of God. John says in his gospel in chapter number 1 that the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He goes on to say, and we beheld his glory. Think with me just a moment. You know the story of Christ coming into the world in the form of a baby through a virgin birth. And yet, John says we beheld his glory. Well, the glory of the Father, Jesus said that glory that he had laid it aside. He took upon himself, Paul said in Philippians, the form of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death. When he came into this world, he is God. He will ever be God. There will never be a time that he wasn't. But his glory was veiled, if you would, at that time, and he took upon himself the form of a man with flesh. He lay aside his glory, we could say. John says we beheld his glory. When did he see that? Remember, John was one of the apostles, one of the followers of Christ. He was called by Christ, and John saw the miracles just as the others did. John saw the things that Christ did, but when did he see the glory of the Lord? Where we find, and of course, John's writing after the fact. John, Peter, James, and John went up with the Lord on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And there they saw the glory of Christ. Him being in all of his glory as with the Father. And of course, Peter made the statement, you know, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. They saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That glory that he had laid aside, whereby he took upon himself the form of a man, where he came into this world, he died on a cross, he shed his blood, where that you and I might be saved, not worshiping the creature, but worshiping now the creator, and seeing him. And now John says, we beheld his glory. Think with me just a moment. They knew the Lord. They saw him. Peter, James, and John, they saw the glory of the Lord. But one day, this glory that they saw, you and I will be caught up in that same glory as we think about how God works. By working through the Word of God, the Holy Spirit illumines the minds of the believer from the things of God. What's being said, aligning with the Word of God, brings to our will, if you would, free will of man, to receive it or reject it. Just as nature says there's a creator, you can believe it or not. The Word of God says Jesus is God, you can believe it or not. You can believe that Christ came, he died, he rose again. You can have eternal life. You can be illumined now by the Spirit. Or you can reject that and say, I'm going to hold on to my gold and my silver and my 401 or whatever it is that I've got, and I'm going to hold on to it. Friends, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit illumines the believer. What happens is when a person is born again, the Spirit of God indwells that person. And now within the heart, in this created being now, new creature in Christ, we have the glory of the Lord. Not as we will one day. Think with me now. Jesus returned in John's gospel. He's with the disciples that night in the upper room. He appeared to them. He appeared different than what he had appeared before. Think with me, just 3 days earlier, they're gathered in the upper room, and he's talking about how that the Holy Spirit is going to come. He's looking at it being arrested shortly, looking at going to the cross, and this is the same Jesus now that appears after the fact. What's the difference? He's now in his glory. They're locked inside a room, and he's in there with them. You're talking about a glorified, resurrected body. Now, for that believer, we're talking about how that Spirit comes inside of us and God will make himself known. I'm looking at 2 Corinthians now, chapter number 4. Again, the magnitude of God's plan. It's God's plan that not any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. It's not that all of mankind can't be saved, but it is that they won't be saved. Why? Because they will not surrender their will to the will of the Maker. But in surrendering our will to the will of God, addressing the matter of sin by coming to Him as a sinner and saying that there's no way for me to pay for my sin, there's nothing I can do except take Christ and what He did, knowing that I'm a sinner, I need to be saved. I ask Christ to save me. And when we do that, that is put to our account by faith. We're now justified by God, declared righteous. What does that mean? It's a judicial statement. You've been declared righteous by God. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Where is the truth? Is it in nature? No, it's in the Word of God. His Word shows us who we are. His Word shows us what we need. His Word shows us what we can do about it. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit illumines us and He lightens, if you would, our hearts. I'm talking about within this person, a new man in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, that's what he did at creation, wasn't it? He said, let there be light, and what was it? There was light. Wait just a moment now. The sun's created on day 4. What was the light before the sun was created? The glory of God. Go back and read the creation account. He said, let there be light, and there was light. There's the glory of God. By the way, these are 7 24-hour day periods of time for those who would argue different. They say, oh, they've been long eons of years can't be. Why is that? Well, because the sun's created on day four. Plant life would have died if it had been eons of time before the sun was created. God knows what he's doing, folks. The light shined out of darkness, and this is what he said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts this same glory. You with me? The light that shined out of darkness, well, not the sun, because he said, let there be light before the sun. And so the sun is displaying the glory of God through creation, but it does nothing for our heart. It may make us feel good when it's raining, but eternally, the sun does nothing for us, but the glory of God does, that light. He said, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Friends, this morning, if you're born again, you have the Spirit of God inside of you. The Holy Spirit touches your heart and he illumines you to the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And he said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Think about that this morning as a born-again believer. You've got the glory of God within you. He's within you. He's within every born-again believer. The glory of the God, of the Lord is. It's a treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It shows us through this matter of being born again by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit that it's not something that you and I can do, that we could glory in that, but it's of the Father. He does this, and this is how he does it, through the matter of salvation. Now I'm going to look at one other place this morning in Scripture, and that would be in Colossians chapter number 3. And speaking to the believer now about this magnitude of God's plan, he has, within the believer, taken up his residence. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Folks, we look at the world today and we see the condition that it's in. We see the things. It's just war, war, war. Everybody wants war. China wants war. Russia wants war. Venezuela wants war. Everybody wants war. Other than if we can get what we want, we'll have peace. You believe them, don't you? You give us what we need, we can get along together. Trying to find the soft spot in your back where they can place the knife. There's no peace till Christ comes. He's coming and there's going to be peace, but at the expense of what? Now he says in Colossians chapter number 3, when Christ, who is our life, see, our life is in Christ. He is in us. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. This glory that we have within our heart will never be extinguished as a born-again believer. You say, well, we might die. Yes, we might. Before he returns, if we do, our spirit, this Spirit of God that's living within us, will be translated to the very presence of Christ. To be absent from the body for the believer is to be present with Christ. We'll be with him in glory. There is a place called glory. That's where Christ is. We'll be with him in glory. This glory that we have, we'll be with him. Our spirits will be with him in glory. And one day, this body that you and I have will be glorified as Christ's body was. Think with me just a moment. Christ was placed in the tomb. He came back out of the tomb. He now has a resurrected, glorified body, a body that has no limitations. One day when Christ takes up the church, he calls us out, The dead in Christ shall rise first, it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to be with the Lord. That's the believer. That's not everyone, that's the believer. And our bodies will be changed in a moment, Paul said in 1 Corinthians, in the twinkling of an eye. That's not the batting of an eye, that's the twinkling. What is a split second? I don't know how you split a second, but it's more than that. We'll be changed. Our bodies will have a glorified, resurrected body. This is what he said. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. We're going to be caught up to be with the Lord. But don't look at that as something as being, one day this will happen. I want us to concentrate on this thought this morning in closing. As a born-again believer, we have the glory of God inside of us. It was placed there by the Lord at the moment of salvation by faith in Christ. And that glory is within you. It's within your heart and soul. Not talking about the muscle, we're talking about the heart of man. God has a heart created in his image. He has a heart. What does that mean? He loves. For God so loved the world. God has a mind. He knows what's going on. We have a mind. We can respond. In our mind, we can choose to think about who we are in Christ with that glory in us and walk in the face of any kind of threat, any kind of trouble. There's nothing that can come to the child of God that God does not permit to come across our path. And if he allows that, whatever it may be, trial, folks, he'll see us through it. We have the glory of God inside of us. Now think with me. This world is dark as it's getting. And it's getting. But yet, we have light within us. And one day God's going to take this light out. This church, this bride, this born-again body of believers is going to be caught up. You're talking about darkness? It's coming. But right now, you and I have the light of the Lord in our spirit, in our body. And wherever we go, we're making a difference. You may not see it, but you are here to make a difference. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to use us. Let our light shine. That same light, let it be seen in our life that others may know Christ. That's my prayer today, that we would let the Lord be seen in our bodies. May we know the word to be able to tell someone. If someone were to ask you, what can I do to have salvation? Folks, we got the word of God. We ought to know. There's no perfect one. Somebody, well, I don't know the perfect scripture source. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, did he not? That whosoever believeth in him might have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Doesn't get much more easier than that. Would you like to receive Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Would you like to come to know him? Ask him to save you. There's no right or wrong way of praying with someone. I have someone to pray. Let the Holy Spirit do his work. He said he would give us the words to say when the time comes. Let's stand together today. As we think about, again, the magnitude of God's plan, that he would include each one of us individually, you this morning, you are his instrument, that earthly vessel we saw, you are the earthly vessel in the sight of whoever it may be, that none of the rest of us will ever meet. But you have a circle of friends. You know those who no one else knows but you and God. Today, would you ask the Lord to help you to shine in their life? Father, I pray that would be all of our prayer today. Dear God, that you would allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to use us for your honor and glory, Lord, that we might reflect that glory in the day in which we live. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.